Bible says in Jude, and we'll begin in verse number 21, he said, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." In verse 2, he said, "And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments that are spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior." Boy, I like how Jude ends this letter. "Be glory and majesty, dominion and power." Not just both now, but forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you one more time. And God, I come confessing the Lord that I'm ignorant. And God, I don't know anything. Lord, I'm but a child. And so God, I pray, would you lead us tonight? Would you help us in the way? Father, we ask you, Lord, that you'd anoint the message, Father, tonight. And God, might you draw our hearts to the affection, God, and to the attention of the cross of Calvary. Father, help us tonight, we do pray. Lord, we ask you that in the name of Jesus, Lord, might everything that might hinder the service be bound up. God, might your word have perfect liberty tonight. And God, as you deal in the hearts of men and women, Lord, might we turn our attention, Lord, unto everything that you've already accomplished for our sake and on our behalf. And Lord, we'll praise you for all these favors in Christ's name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I'm interested tonight primarily in the two verses. I'm going to read them again. The Bible says in verse 22, it said, "And of some have compassion, making a difference." And then in verse 23, as if to say that there are those, friend, that do not even know enough to get themselves out of harm's way. It said others save with fear. I'm pulling them out of the fire. I'd like to preach on tonight on pulling folks out of the fire. I want to say to you, I thought about one of them old men that I love to read about. It's one of them old first, one of them preachers in the first awakening, a fellow by the name of George Whitefield. It said that personally in the 13 colonies, everybody had opportunity to hear that man preach. And dear God, when he'd stand up and preach, it is said that George Whitefield would get up, and as he'd preach, the power of God would fall upon his servant, that men and women would fall on their faces. But even in those days, there were those that were rebellious to the word of Almighty God. And so it said of George Whitefield that he would stand up, and dear God, under the anointing of God, and would begin to weep until the tears would fall to the earth and say, "Oh sinner, if you care not enough to weep for yourself, oh George Whitefield will weep for you." I'm telling you, friend, if folks realized the condition they were in, and then surely they'd weep for themselves. But if they're not going to, and they ought to be some people of God and they care enough about their soul to weep on their behalf. I thought about as we read this passage, I thought one of these days the smoke's going to clear, friend, and the Bible says that the elements of this earth are going to melt. And dear God, with a fervent heat, I want you to hear me. And when all the smoke clears off, and dear God, the fire's purged everything it's going to purge, only those that have been born again will still remain. And so with the help of the Lord, I want to point out to you a few things in this passage of scripture and give it to you just the way God give it to me. And the Bible teaches us that as the born again child of God, that we are called to be three things. According to Ezekiel chapter number 33, we are to be flagmen, friend. And the Bible said, "I have set you as a watchman upon the tower." It's my responsibility. And that, dear God, whenever the enemy is coming about to get somebody, and to wave them down the best way I can,
to say, please, friend, would you flee from the wrath to come? I'm telling you, dear God, we've got a lot of folks today, they're not much interested in waving the flag. But I'm telling you, dear God, if you're here and you've never been born again, dear friend, I'd wave it as high as I can and say, please, dear God, flee from the wrath of God. But the Bible doesn't just say that we're flagmen. The Bible teaches us we're fishermen. In Matthew chapter number 6, the Word of God says, and I shall make you fishers of men. And so, dear God, as flagmen, I'm to warn you. But as a fisherman, I'm to catch you. Amen. And the Word of God teaches us, friend, in those days, they didn't cast out with a bait. Amen. But they cast out with a net. I'm thankful, bless God, as folks come in and out of the house of God, as we come in contact with people, our primary concern ought to be to catch them out of the shape that they're in. Amen. The Bible teaches us now here. It says, and of some having compassion, making different, and others saving with fear, pulling them out of the fire. I thought, not only are we flagmen and fishermen, but the Bible teaches us we're firemen. Amen. I'd like to preach on that for a few moments of time. I want you to notice the Word of God teaches us, dear friend, that as a fireman, notice in verse 1, it said, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. And then notice those last two words. It says, and called. Amen. I thought, bless God, that whenever somebody's in a fire, and the first thing that has to happen is there is a call that is made. And now I begin to read up and found out that whenever you'd search out, and the very first fire department in our nation's history was in New York City or New Amsterdam at the time. And dear friend, they'd have where they'd go out, and they'd have spotters, and their whole responsibility was both day and night. And they'd just walk up the streets, and dear friend, go in through the neighborhood, and they had their water pails ready. And you understand, they didn't have no telephones, and telegrams surely would be too slow. And so there was able-bodied men, and that their whole purpose in life was to walk up and down the place with water in their hand, ready for any time a fire might break out. I say, thank God, I know that there's a call that has to be made. It said that most oftentimes today, that whenever a call goes out, it goes out from the person and that is in the actual fire. Oh, friend, as I read that, I could not help. And God help us for a few moments of time. I couldn't help but think about the words over in Luke chapter number 16. And we find the man who is actually in the fire. And the Bible says there in the verse number 26 or verse 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, and that thou wouldest send him unto my father's house, for I have 5 brethren, and that he might testify unto them, unless they also come into this place of torment. Oh, my friend, I'm telling you, whenever you read this passage of Scripture, I know sometimes we've heard about the rich man, and so many times that it doesn't do anything for us. But might I say to you tonight that that man is still in a literal burning hell right now as we speak. And that man is still in a place of torment. He is still in a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, and where the worm dieth not. And he has placed a call. Oh, might somebody and take the water to my friend. I'm telling you, friend, I thought about whenever you get a call, and if they just gauge it based upon how many people they feel like it's needed, and they call it a first alarm fire, and they call it a second alarm fire, and you've heard of probably the biggest one is a 5 alarm fire. When a 5 alarm fire goes off, and that means there is absolute total loss, absolute total destruction, and there's not going to be anything saved. All hands on deck, whosoever will, let him come and grab a bucket. And that meant whenever that 5 alarm fire went off in the old days, and that everybody that had arms and was able, and they ought to grab a hold of a bucket and go down, because if they didn't, all hope was going to be lost. I'm telling you, friend, let's be assured of one thing. And when we're talking about eternal souls, it is a five-alarm fire, friend. And the Bible said, fear not him that's able to destroy just your body, but fear him rather that's able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Amen. If you die and go to hell, friend, I want you to understand it'll be an absolute loss. It's not just that you lose your home. Oh, that'd be bad enough. But my friend, to lose your eternal soul, I'm telling you, dear God, everything I've got's going to burn one day except for that one part. Amen. I'm telling you, thank God. Thank God, dear friend. Hey, man, the call went out one day. I pressed on the button. I'm glad they make it easy, aren't you? I don't, anybody know what the fire department's phone number is? Hey, man, probably not a soul in here. But everybody knows what three buttons to push. If that time should come, you dial 911. And thank God, God made it that easy too. And when you realize you're in the flames of hell, and the number's not 911, it is 316. Amen. Or in other words, 316. And thank God, whenever I was in the pits of hell, I made out one phone call. Amen. Called on the one. And dear God, that loved the world so much, and that he gave his only begotten son. Thank God that whosoever will. Amen. I'm telling you, friend. And the Lord Jesus Christ came and to give them eternal life. I'm glad that whenever you make that call, and that calls enough. Amen. I thought about then the response time. Amen. As a fire department, and the most important thing is the response time to the fire. Amen. Listen, if you're a firefighter, I don't want you to be lackadaisical, friend. I don't want you to be running around in your comfort. I don't want you to be asleep. I don't want you to be just laying down and saying, well, I'm going to get to it after I finish my meal, or I'll get to it when I can. I mean, if the fire call goes out, that means that you ought to stop what you're doing. Yeah. Amen. And come a running. I don't place the call and just to see what you're going to do. But I'm telling you, friend, when you stop and realize tonight that, dear God, response time is everything. There's some folks that it'll be too late before they ever even realize that they're in a fire. And some folks, dear friend, and that the first time they realize their sinful condition, and they'll be cast into an eternal fire. Oh, God, help us. See, the Bible says of some having compassion, and they some folks that I ought to come around to, and Gage put my arm around them and say, oh, don't you know, friend, that the Lord loves you. But then the Bible goes on to say, in others, you ought to save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Amen. That means if it's necessary, I ought to grab a hold of somebody and jerk them with every ounce of my being. I'm telling you, as I read this morning, I read about this little curly-headed boy. And this little curly-headed boy came up on a Charles Spurgeon service, and he knocked on the door. Oh, Charles Spurgeon went back there. And the Bible said, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but the Bible said that old Charles Spurgeon grabbed him by the locks of his head. He said, young man, you ever been born again? Boy, he began to look, and he said, no. And he said, Charles Spurgeon had him by the locks of the head and began to gather him up there. And he said, wouldn't you like to be? And dear friend, I want you to hear me. He said, that little young man was under conviction. And he said, all I had to do, he said, as far as he is concerned, I had him by the hair of the head dragging him. He said, really, I was just a petting him on the head and just reminding him of all the good graces God had done. I'm telling you, you ought to do everything you can. I'd rather somebody say, oh, well, that preacher's trying to work up salvation, and then I would for you to die and go to hell. Amen. I mean, not doing everything I can to keep you out of that awful place. You label it whatever you want to label it. You call it whatever you want to call it. I'm telling you, friend, don't die and go to hell. Amen. So the Bible says there's a call. And then I noticed, friend, there's also a compassion. What is it that moves firefighters to go do what they do? Yeah, man, is not it compassion? I mean, you ever seen a burn victim, friend? I mean, I'm telling you, you ever look down on somebody amen, that's passed through the fire. And dear God, you can see they've been badly disfigured. They've been badly mangled. And you ever looked at them and you thought, oh my, I don't know what kind of suffering that must have been. Might God help us to see souls in that same condition. Might God help us. You probably can't see it by looking at me right now. On account of there's a great physician that got me in the nick of time. But friend, there was smoke inhalation on my soul. I'd already been hung out over the pits of hell. But thanks be unto God, amen. And the Lord Jesus Christ pulled us out of that place. Hey, listen, I didn't even know enough to get myself out. And the Bible said, and you who were dead in trespasses and sin. Last time I checked, dead men don't do anything. Amen. And they just lie there. And so while I was lying there, dead in my sins, Ricky Ward. Amen. Almost like I come to a little bit of consciousness. And I could feel there was a fireman had me on his shoulders and carrying me out of the flame. Hallelujah. Amen. And thank God, friend, I'm telling you, if you get out of hell, praise God, you'll get out of hell not on your own merits. You're lying in the flame burning and don't even know it. Your body ain't even caught up to where your soul is. I'm telling you, the wrath of God, as we heard this morning, abides there. And there's nothing you can do about it. But thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it came down. I mean, friend, listen, dear God, he didn't have to send a search dog into the place to find out if they was alive. He knew everybody was dead. You understand? Yeah. He wasn't a soul one in that place. He wasn't a soul one on planet Earth that was going to make it out of this thing alive. But my heavenly Father's such a good fireman. He came on down anyway. He said, praise God, what they lack in life. Amen. The word of God says, in him was life. Amen. And the life was the light of men. And so as he breathed upon our soul, a life entered back into our body. I thought about their compassion. I thought about dear friend. And that's what motivated the Lord Jesus Christ to come to this whole planet Earth. That's what motivated him to the cross of Calvary. I thought about when you find what it is that firemen do under compassion. It's compassion that moves them and to restrain folks from the fire. I mean, dear friend, listen. And they come a-running because at some point in time they said, we don't want to see not nobody else burn. I mean, listen, friend. They said, we don't want to see not one Menary person more. You know what I'm aware of? I want you to understand. Boy, even while we sit here, I'm aware there's going to be folks set under the sound of preaching. Hey, man, you're going to die and go to hell anyway. Oh, God. I'm telling you, friend, set underneath it, hearing Sunday after Sunday, dear God, here's some men of God come and bring the word of God. Ain't going to reject it and go to hell anyway. If you do, you're going to do it over me. Amen. More importantly, you're going to do it over the Lord Jesus Christ and what he done on the cross of Calvary. Going to do our best for you to pull you out of that place you're in. I'm telling you, I thought about it's compassion that moves them to restrain the fire. But I remember you, how many of you remember? I'm sure most of you do back on 9/11 when that plane hit that tower. I'm telling you, one of the most memorable memories, for lack of better terms, that I have is, dear God, is seeing those firemen. Everybody else is running out of the building and them firemen are running into it. Amen. Thank God. Listen, this thing's going down, friend. And this whole world's going down. And the whole thing's going to burn up. But thanks be to God. Amen. And we're going to run into this flaming thing. I'm telling you, dear God, I'm not worried about where I'm at. Our purpose is to rescue the souls that are there. And then I thought about, dear friend, as we find, it says, and of some having compassion make a difference. And then it says, others save with fear. I'm pulling them out of the fire. You know whatever good fireman needs, amen. Now I know this is going to be real deep, real profound preaching. But you know whatever fireman needs, he needs a water source, amen. And you cannot fight fires unless you've got water to quench it. Thanks be unto God. The Bible says in Titus 3:5. and not according to our works of righteousness which we have done. But by His own mercy hath He saved us. Amen. The Bible says by the washing of the regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, friend, my responsibility is not to save you. I want you to understand. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. Yeah. And my responsibility is to hose you down. Amen. And my responsibility is to take the Word of God and to see you in your fire. And whether you realize it or not, you understand most folks that die in a fire are dying in a fire because they're asleep. And by the time they wake up, it's too late to tell. Amen. Thank God. Praise God. We came to the house of God. That even if you are asleep, we're trying to fight the flame with everything in us to keep you out of hell. Amen. You better have a water source. Amen. Now listen, you can grab a water hose all you want to, but if you don't get it plugged in, amen, you carry that water hose and you can point it in any direction, it'll be as flat as a pancake. You get that joker plugged into the source, amen, and the water will just begin to flow right out of that place. I'm telling you, we don't need to work up conviction. What we need is some folks that understand we need to get plugged up to the water source. He said, I am the water of life. Amen. I'm telling you, dear friend, we get plugged into Him and let Him come down and move through the water hose, and we'll find, I don't know how, I didn't get guilted into salvation, amen. I didn't even get convinced into salvation. Amen, I got convicted into it, amen. Realized I was in a flame for it, and thank God for the old time preaching. And then I thought, no, 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 they need that. But them firemen, they need radios, amen. And they need communication, and to know where they need to go, and know where the bodies are at, and know where the source of the fire is. And that usually comes from the fire marshal, amen. And the fire marshal is who gives out the command. And dear God, them old firemen, when they run in there, and they're in constant communication with Him, and to make sure they're safe and going where they need to go. And thank God, the same thing that washes us also communicates with us, amen. And we need some folks to get in the Word of God. I mean, we need some folks that have some good, I don't know if you know this, listen to me. You might even be here saved. You might even be born again by God's grace. And you're fighting hell on every turn. Thank God. We can come to the house of God. Hear the Word of God. Be in communication with the man of God. Amen. And get the help that we need from God. And then I thought, from time, one of my favorite gifts when I was a little boy, I had a fire truck. And on that fire truck, you know what my favorite part about that thing was? It had a ladder that it would reach. Amen. As firemen, we need something and that'll reach out to where people is. You know what I know about every person in this room? I cannot reach. And the neighbor next to you, Donnie Neal, we cannot reach where they're at. And I'm glad I can get hold of a ladder. Amen, that can reach right to the coldest heart. Amen, that can fix whatever's wrong. I'm telling you, friend, if you die and go to hell, you'll die and go to hell surrounded by firefighters that are doing everything they can. And then I thought about, dear friend, not only do we see all the contraptions that they use, but then I thought about, and the Bible says, pulling them out of it. Amen. I mean, you got to have something. Now, if you're gonna go into where the fire's at, I ain't never seen a firefighter one run in there. Amen. In jeans and a t-shirt. Amen. They've got to have proper clothing. Amen. Hey, listen to me, friend. If we're going to fight the fires of hell, you ought to be clothed just right. Amen. I want you to know this. You know why they put on those clothes? Because they're flame retardant. Amen. That means that they can go in the flame where the fire's at, and they'll come back out without being burned. Amen. I don't know if you know this tonight, friend, but if you've been saved and washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, you got put on some flame retardant clothes, amen. I mean, thank God, as we thought about Brother Terry singing that old song, The Only Fire. Hey, listen, you know how I know that? The Bible gives us absolute proof of what our clothing is like. I'm way over there in Daniel chapter number 3. And when they bound some men up and they cast them into the fiery furnace, flame came upon them and they were not hurt, and neither did the smoke see it. And dear friend, I'm glad if you're born again by God's grace, and you ain't got to be afraid of not one and flame of hell ever touching your soul. Amen. Amen.
But I want you to know, probably the way most of us Christians are, and everybody in here is probably guilty. You ever been driving up the road and you see that telltale of smoke coming up? And it looks like it's coming from your neighborhood. Hey, man, anybody know what I'm talking about? And you get closer you get to that smoke, and the more nervous you become. And then you turn the corner, and you see your house is okay. And you say, shoo, shoo, I'm all right. And all of a sudden, that fear leaves you. I'm afraid too many of us have gotten entirely too comfortable knowing that the smoke's no longer ascending from our building, but there's people burning down all around us.
Mm-hmm. Good preaching, Pastor.
Burning down. I'm telling you, friend, be ashamed to be a firefighter and roll up on somebody's burning down house and just look at it while it burns to the ground. I didn't come to guilt you. I come to sober you up. It's good to shout her out. I'm glad God lets us do that. But friend, let's not forget that our responsibility on this planet Earth is to have compassion on some and make a difference. But others, were to save them with fear. They, some folks, probably under the sound of my voice, that you don't even know how close you are. As far as we all know, all our houses are fine right now. But there's potential in all of them to burn to the ground before we get home. Yeah. I want you to know this. Friend, that is in you. You are cross-wired. You will die and go to hell. Amen. If you don't get born again by God's grace. I want to give you one more thing, and I'm done. Somebody be praying about the song. Be praying about what God have you to say or do. But the Bible says, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now notice verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Praise the Lord. I sure am glad there's one that's able to keep us. You understand, as firemen come storming into the building, that the biggest question is structural stability. Will the floor give way or burn out from underneath me before I can get to who I'm getting to? And then he throws that in the next verse. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling, when all the smoke clears, everything's went away, and we're standing before a gracious God. I realize probably we'll not be able to reach every person that we've come in contact with. But that don't stop me from trying. Firefighters don't save every building. But when the next call goes out, they go because that might be the one they get to save. I thought about what David Brainerd said. I care not how I live. I care not what hardships I go through. If I may but win one soul for Christ, it'll be worth every mile. Matthew Henry said it this way. He said, I'd rather win one soul to Jesus than have mountains of gold and silver for myself. I'm telling you, dear friend, if you do everything you can to try to keep somebody out of hell, when you stand before a holy, righteous God that day, amen, you'll be celebrated, thank God, as one that has done just what God's Word says. Last thing I'll say is this. Have you ever seen what happens when a firefighter dies? They don't die like the rest of us, Brother Campbell. And they get ready to die. And there's a procession. Back home, there's ladder trucks. They situate Old Glory right in between them things. And every firefighter that there is and gets in their little fire trucks, and they get in behind them. And they come parading through town. One more has done went on. Thank God. Hey, friend, listen. You may feel underappreciated right now. Just wait. This thing ain't over just yet. There'll be a day that we'll not come underneath the banner of Old Glory, but underneath the banner of our blessed Savior. And every fireman that's ever went will be praising the Lord as we join together, as you stand to your feet. I don't know you need tonight, but I'll tell you this. Would you stop for a minute and consider where you're at? As I crossed the bridge coming into Jamestown, I smelled that smoke. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You smell the smoke coming in your nose and you know there's fire somewhere. I'm telling you, from the beginning of this service, you can feel the Lord wooing folks to Himself. I don't know where you're at, but I'll tell you one thing I was told as a little boy. Don't play with fire. You will get burned.